turn your attention today to Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to do my best to stick with the timer that's on my notes here. So I'm starting to preach later than normal. So I'm going to try to get you out of here at normal time. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Verse 49, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I'll preach for just a little bit, hopefully. The proper response to Jesus. The proper response to Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. You see the QR code on the screen. If you would like to follow along in an abbreviated form of the notes, you can do so by scanning that QR code. You do have permission to take out your phone for that purpose. I'm going to skip most of my introduction, but just set the context a little bit. We looked at the rich young ruler a couple of messages ago, and Jesus followed that. And I preached about a divine exchange last week as Jesus talked about the difficulty of the rich being saved and how hard it would be because they were trusting in something beside him. They were putting their importance on something beside the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they had been in Judea and then they went to Jerusalem. They've left Jerusalem. And as they were leaving Jerusalem, James and John would come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, we want you to do something for us. We got a favor to ask of you." And of course, Jesus knows all things, but he asked them, "What is it you want me to do?" They said, "We want to sit on your right hand and your left hand. We want to be like the greatest in your kingdom. We want you to put us right up there." Now keep in mind, it was the three, Peter, James, and John, that are often referred to. They are the special, if I could say that, are the smaller and smallest group of disciples outside of the 12. So James and John, they're with Jesus all the time. They've been with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Anywhere Jesus would go, Peter, James, and John were there. So James and John, their brothers, are like, "Man, we got this. We've got the inside track." And so, "Jesus, would you make us to sit on your right hand and then your left hand when you come into your kingdom? We want to be all that." And Jesus would say, you can't do that. You can't drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from. It's going to take persecution. It's going to take for him. It was going to take the cup of death on the cross." And he would go on to say that the greatest in the kingdom must be servant of all. You've got to be least in the kingdom. If you want to be great, it's about serving. It's not about position. It's about what you do in the kingdom and how you are impacting people and whether you love people and serve people and help people. And then Jesus, after that conversation, he's on his way to Jericho. Jericho of that Old Testament fame. Jericho where the walls came tumbling down and Rahab, which I'll mention a little bit later. He's on his way to Jericho. And as he's coming near to the city, we see an example of a proper way for us to respond to Jesus. So because I'm going to hurry, I'm just going to come and cut to the chase and get to the body of the message. But the first way in which you and I should respond is we should respond to the reputation of Jesus. Respond to what we've heard about Him and what we know about Him. As they came to Jericho, and then He goes out of Jericho with His disciples in verse 46, and a great multitude is there, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, set by the road begging. The text is interesting. It does a little bit of repetition. We'll put verse 46 up on the screen again. It does this repetition because the Gospel of Mark isn't written to a Jewish audience. It's written to a Roman audience. They wouldn't know that Bartimaeus just means son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus is not his name. He doesn't have a name. He's just son of Timaeus. But in order for them, the readers of the Gospel of Mark, in the context to understand it, then they don't just say blind Bartimaeus, which in Hebrew, Bar means son of, and Timaeus is his father's name. He's the son of Timaeus. They make sure that you get it. It's not his name. He doesn't have a name. It's just this is the son of this man, Timaeus. That tells me a number of things about this. Obviously, he's blind and he's sitting by the road and he is begging. But it tells me some other things about Bartimaeus. He's likely been blind from his birth. Why would I think that? Because children were often named when they were dedicated to the Lord. This dedication that we did here, maybe it was more elaborate in Jewish times and the priest, and it's a special deal. It's not just a part of a normal service, but it's at that moment of dedication on the eighth day that they would come for the boys and they would be circumcised. And when they're circumcised, that would be the sign of the covenant that they were in covenant with the people of God and they were in covenant with the God of the people, and they would give them the name. But if you're blind, if you have illness, if you have deformities, if you have handicaps, you don't get to go to the temple. You're not allowed in the temple, which means you don't get a name. If the naming takes place at the dedication, but you're not allowed to go to the temple to be dedicated to God because the Old Testament law would say you can't go into the house of God if you don't have everything just right. If you're sick, you don't get to come. Aren't you glad? I'm glad that you get to come even when you're sick. You got a little sniffle, you don't have to stay home. You get to come and be in the presence of God. And then I get to have people out here instead of talking to some chairs. And what's even greater is if you come sick, you can leave well. That you don't have to come sick and leave sick. You can come, and when you enter into His presence, you can leave whole and made well, and you can leave with strength, and you can leave with healing. But Bartimaeus, he doesn't have a name. He's just the son. Timaeus, but he had heard. He's blind, but his ears were really good, and he had heard the stories of Jesus. He had heard about the reputation of Jesus. He had heard that Jesus was causing the lame to walk, and he was causing the deaf to hear, and he was causing the blind to see. He had heard about this man who's working miracles, who had even raised the dead. And he says, surely that's the person I need to meet. Surely that's the person I need to come in contact with. And when Jesus gets close to where he is, he hears that it's Jesus, and he begins to call out and he begins to cry out, and the crowd can't keep him quiet. The crowd is saying, hey, you just keep it quiet over here. Jesus has more important things to do. He cries out all the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But you and I, the first response that you and I should have is to the reputation of Jesus. I've heard about what He's done. I've heard the stories of Him healing. I've heard the stories of Him delivering. I've heard the stories of Him saving. I've heard the stories of Him breaking addiction. So my response is, I want to get where Jesus is. If He can do all that for somebody else, then maybe He can do it for me. Just maybe He will work those miracles in my life. Just maybe He will come on my behalf. A lot of people, though they respond, whether it's to the Word of God or to His stories and testimonies, with skepticism. I don't know about that. I don't know if that's true. Or cynicism, yeah, the people are just making up stuff. That didn't really happen. Or derision, what's wrong with you? You're crazy to believe that He could do miracles. You're crazy to believe that this historical figure that was crucified, He's still alive today. Surely, you're smarter than that. Others will respond with outright rejection of Him, and we don't want anything to do with this Jesus of Nazareth. The Bible's full of a lot of good stuff. That's what the demon said. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? If people rejecting Jesus of Nazareth, they're putting themselves in a bad camp. You don't want to be in that camp, but you want to be in the camp like blind Bartimaeus says, I've heard about it. I want to find out if He can really work it in my life. He's done it for others. Can He do it for me? Rahab, I mentioned in Jericho, when the others are making fun of the people of God marching around the city, she's heard the same stories they had heard. She's heard how the God of the Jews had been wiping out their enemies and how the God of the Jews was working for them. And she said, I believe it's true. The rest of Jericho didn't believe it, but she says, I believe it. And she hid the spies and then she let them down and she puts out the red cord. And when everybody else is destroyed because of her faith, because she believed the reputation of the God of the Old Testament, she was saved. I want to put myself in the camp of Rahab today and say, I believe what I've heard about Him. I believe it's true. And if He's done it for others, He can do it for me. Why not me and why not now? Why would I not want God to work in my life? We need to respond to His reputation. Whatever you need today, He's done it for somebody else already, and He can do it for you. If you believe that, would you give God a bigger praise than that? Oh, we believe you, Jesus. For us, I'm going to skip ahead. I told you I'm going to try to get out on time. He cries out all the more when there's pushback. Nothing should keep us from responding to Jesus. When Jesus comes close, we need to ignore the multitudes and ignore the people that are against it. It doesn't really matter what they think anyway. It's what you think and what He can do. And if you believe He can do it, you're likely to get what you need. But the second way we should respond to Him is not just His reputation, but we should respond to His call. Jesus, maybe He hears Bartimaeus over the crowd. Maybe just because He's God in human flesh, He knows Bartimaeus is calling Him. But Jesus suddenly stops and He calls for Bartimaeus to be brought to Him. And when He does, Bartimaeus does something interesting, and the crowd does something interesting. This crowd that had been telling him to be quiet and shut up and quit calling on him, they changed their tune when Jesus started calling. Hey, bring him to me. This crowd that's ridiculing him and telling him to be quiet, all of a sudden they're like, hey, be of good cheer. He's calling for you. Come on, man, it's going to be great. That's why when people tell you the Word of God ain't true, just ignore them. They don't know what they're talking about. People are fickle. People go along with the greatest thing. But when he hears that Jesus is calling him, the Bible says he, the next verse, verse 50, throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. That's significant. Because this garment didn't mean he's getting undressed. This garment, it was his beggar garment. It was the garment that symbolized that he was a beggar and that he's blind and he's out begging alms and he needs help. And it's the garment that let everybody know from a distance. You didn't have to get up close. You just knew. If I could say it this way, you see somebody standing on the roadside by themselves with a sign, you can figure out they're probably begging alms and they need help and they're wanting help. It's a mark of identification before you can even read it. You know what's coming. Before they could get close enough to see the cup in his hand, and before they could get close enough to hear what he's saying, this garment would identify him as a beggar. But when he hears that Jesus is calling, he's like, I don't need this garment anymore. I'm still blind, but I'm not going to be blind very long because Jesus is calling. That one I've heard those stories about, I can get rid of this garment. I'm not going to need it anymore. He steps out in faith. He casts this garment aside. I'm done with that. And he comes straight to where Jesus is. You may not be blind today. You may not have infirmities in your body. You may not have sicknesses in your body. But all of us have needs. And here is the truth of the Word of God. That when you're in the presence of God, He shows up for a reason. He shows up to meet the needs of His people in His presence. Sure, He is enthroned on the praises of His people. We praise Him. His presence comes. But He doesn't just bring His presence in a way that you can feel it and experience it and go, yeah, I just want y'all to know I'm here. He comes to minister and meet the needs of His people. So you and I, when He calls us, our response is, I'm coming to where you are, Jesus. This is what you want. This is where I'm going. I'm going to be where you are. I'm going to be in your presence. I'm going to answer your call, whatever it may be, the call to be healed, the call to be saved, the call just to be in a deeper relationship with you. I'm going to respond to that call by obedience, and I'm going to respond to that call by following after you. And that is the third thing. Respond to His work. Jesus has declared to blind Bartimaeus, your faith has made you whole. You called on me in your moment of need, and you answered me when I called on you. And you didn't just answer, but you gave this visible demonstration of your faith by throwing off this garment. You didn't keep it and say, well, y'all hold this, I might need it. You didn't carry it with you under your arm just in case it didn't work out. Bartimaeus, you were all in. You believed that everything you had heard about me was true and that because I called you, I was going to do it in your life. And Jesus says, that faith has made you whole. And His response to Jesus, not His reputation, not His call to come close, but His response to the work of Jesus was He followed Him on the road. You've heard me distinguish a couple of different words in recent weeks. What it means to follow Jesus. Some words have the connotation of we're just going to trail along behind Jesus. That Jesus walks down the road, we're walking down the road with Him. We're just following behind. But the word that's used here doesn't mean just to trail along behind. The word that's used here is to obey. As Anna comes to the music, I'm trying to live up to my word. that when he received his sight and he discovered what he already believed was true, now he has experienced it for himself. He said, I'm going to obey this man. I'm going to follow this man. I'm not just going to trail along behind him. And if he goes to Jerusalem, I'll go to Jerusalem. No, I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to live my life in obedience to what he says. He became a follower of Jesus because of his work in his life. The greatest miracle Jesus ever did is shedding his blood on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin and yours, so that you and I could be saved and spend eternity with Jesus. We're going to spend eternity somewhere, but he paid the penalty for my sin so I could spend eternity with him in heaven. This Jesus he's never physically healed me of blindness. He's never healed me of cancer that I know of. Oh, he's healed me here and there. He's done things in my life, and for that I'm very grateful. But I can't imagine the radical change from being blind all your life, and then now I can see. Except it was true spiritually, which is why the songs would be, once I was blind, but now I see. I was blinded by the world. I was blinded by the God of this age who had blinded my eyes, but Jesus opened my eyes and now I can see. It's a spiritual thing. Now I can recognize who he is, and now I can recognize what he wants to do in my life, and I can recognize I can have a relationship with him. It's the greatest miracle to take a lost person and make them saved. As the song would say, take his red blood and wash a black heart and make it white as snow. Only Jesus can do that. And if I never get any other miracle but the miracle of salvation, where I'm born into his kingdom, then that's enough for me to say, Jesus, I'll follow you. Jesus, wherever you lead, I will go. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. This Jesus I preached about, who does those divine exchanges, he takes our sin and gives us a clean slate. It's more than clean. He gives us his righteousness when he takes away our unrighteousness. He takes us who are not a people and he gives us a family and he makes us a people of God. He takes those who are lost and without hope. He makes them saved with all the hope you can ever imagine. The hope of eternal life with him. We should respond to his reputation. Respond to his call. Respond to his work. So that greatest thing Jesus can ever do for you is to save your soul. He does that by his work on the cross. That Jesus, who came and lived a sinless, perfect life, the life you and I were supposed to live but could not. And that sinless, perfect, spotless Lamb of God was crucified on the cross. Paid the penalty for my sin and yours, was buried in a tomb, and he rose the third day. So that just like that, you and I can die to sin in repentance. We can put to death the old man and say, I'm not going to live this way anymore, but I'm going to live for Jesus. We can go down in the waters of baptism and be buried in His name, we can be filled with His Spirit to arise and walk in newness of life. It's the greatest thing that can ever happen. I know. I don't need spiritual discernment. I don't need God to speak a word to me. I just know because I know people in this room. And even if I didn't know people in this room, it would be true in almost every setting. There are people in this room who you need Jesus to work in your life. It could be you need Him to save you today. It could be that you need to commit your life to Him and you need to put to death the old man in repentance. Put to death your desires and your will and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow You. It could be that you need to go down in the waters of baptism and have those sins washed away. As Paul would recount in Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Could be that you need to be filled with that Holy Spirit of God that comes and lives on the inside, that promise and power of the Father that Jesus says you could have because I'm going away. That promise and power that you can get when you're filled with His Spirit and you speak in tongues in a language you don't know. Or could be that you just need God to work in your life. You've experienced salvation. You just need to be drawn closer to Him. It could be that you have some small little thing that you need God to take care of. It could be a relationship. It could be a job. It could be some other financial situation. It could be lost loved ones you're praying for. But His reputation says He can meet every need. His reputation says He can do anything you need Him to do. Whether it's children or grandchildren who've served God and no longer serve God, or whether they've never served Him at all, He's capable of reaching out to where they are and causing them to want to know Him, causing them to want to come to Him and be in relationship with Him. He's able to provide for whatever you need. Respond to His reputation today with faith that says, I believe He can do it. And as you stand together with me, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to respond to His call. Because here's what I know He's saying. Bring all your needs to Me. Cast all your cares on Me. Whatever you need, you just bring it to Me and let Me work. And whatever you need Jesus to do today, He's calling to you to bring to Him. And I say this often, you can receive from God wherever you are in this room. But there's something about stepping out from where you are. Blind Bartimaeus, he calls out for Jesus, and when Jesus calls to him, he's like, he doesn't say, Jesus, I'm over here. You come on over here. I'm blind. How am I going to get to You, Jesus? But he goes to where Jesus is. And once again, Jesus is not just up here at the front. But it takes boldness and it takes faith to get what God wants to give you. So if you stand back today and you've got a need, maybe it's like blind Bartimaeus saying, well, I'm just going to stay here and keep my garment on. Surely He'll do it my way. I'm going to ask you, if you believe God can meet whatever need you have, to step out from where you are. If you're able, if you're not physically able, I get it. But if you're able, would you come and would you lift your hands and your voices to the Lord right now? And would you ask God to work in your life? Jesus, we've heard all the things that You can do. God, we believe You today that You can do them. God, we trust You today that You're going to work in our lives. We trust You, Lord, that whatever we ask of You and the petitions that we make of You today, God, that You're going to work in our lives. You're going to meet those needs today. God, we want you and nothing else, Lord.